Success crowns my efforts when I do my best. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Instant Inspiration. Success crowns my efforts when I do my best. Now, our family are sitting here, our monks are sitting here, and our people are sitting here, and they're thinking, what is he going to talk about? And that's a very good question. What am I going to talk about? Success crowns my efforts when I do my best. Have you ever had success when you didn't do your best? Sometimes, because it was so bad. Any little bit of thing that you did was a blessing or something to make it better. But success crowns my efforts when I do my best. When I give my best, what happens? Do you know, Sylvie, what happens when I give my best? Does success crown my efforts?
Yes.
Why? Why? Because I'm doing it for myself.
Okay, because I'm doing it for myself, yeah.
She hasn't learned to read lips yet. I'm doing it for myself. Now, everything we do should be a success, because we should be doing it for ourselves. If we're doing it for anybody else, we're being very foolish, because nobody appreciates who we are and who we are, you know, where we're going and what we're trying to accomplish. I have had children and adults do projects here, and as they do these projects, some of the children say, "There, isn't that wonderful?" And I say, "Yes, that's wonderful." I haven't the vaguest idea what they're doing, but they believe it, they love it. And then I'll go to an adult and they'll say, "Well, I tried, I gave it my best, I really tried, and it was good." But because they said one word, they messed it up. Because they said, "I tried," they said, "I gave it my best, that was fine, that was just right." But when they put that word, "I tried," in there, they're giving themselves an out in case I don't approve of it. Well, now, you don't do it for me. You do it for yourself. We don't do things for others. We do it for ourselves. If we start doing things for others, we'll never be able to satisfy them. In the first place, we don't know what they want. We have no idea what they want. They can tell us in no uncertain terms what they want, and we have no idea. We have no idea. Ellen and I were talking about putting a porch over her patio. And I was saying to her, "Now, we could do it very simply. Just hang a couple beams out there and do 4x4 and so forth and make it, you know, sturdy. Hook it to the house and it'd be real stable." "I don't want anything that isn't really harmonious with the house." I said, "Anything you put up there is not going to be harmonious with the house, because you're not going to try to maintain the house decor, the house construction." "Well, I'd like to." "All right. If you're going to try to maintain the house construction, that means you pull off that fascia board and you bring your beams out directly from them over the patio, and you put a riser up for it to hold it in place. And then you might be close to it. Except, when you do that, you're going to have this monstrous porch over this gentle little area. And it's going to cover up your upper window. It's going to cover up all the lower windows. And you're not going to have what you want." And she said, "Well, what do we do?" So then she called a firm to give a bid on putting an aluminum roof out. And the firm came out. And he says, "Yes, we can do that, no problem at all. The aluminum roof is approximately 10 by 15 feet, you know?" They wanted $10,000. I said, "Ellen, how often are you going to use that patio? We could put an awning up there and roll it up and down when you want it, you know. We could do a lot of things. We could have Heinz build it, you know, with telephone poles and things like that." And she said, "No, no, no, no. We'll have to think about this. We'll have to think about this. And so, for me to do something for her perfect would be a very difficult thing, because I cannot visualize what she has in mind. And for her to tell me what she has in mind is difficult, because she doesn't know how to put it into words. And I say, well, make a drawing. And her drawing was fine, except that the carrying beams were so small that they wouldn't hold up a birdie, you know. And you have to make it big enough. And so either you're going to cover the windows or you're not going to cover. You're going to do this, you're going to do that. You know, in something like that, you could even have a freestanding roof, which is a perfectly acceptable thing. And a freestanding roof that didn't have to lean either way, you know. If the water is on it, it'll run off the edges, you know, whatever. But it could be a very inexpensively thing done, you know, very charmingly thing done. But it can't be, because I don't know what she wants, and she doesn't know how to describe what she wants, but she sees it there. And I said, well, I know you're enjoying it. She sees it there. And sometimes that's the ultimate of a fulfillment, seeing it there. Success crowns our efforts when we give our best. Heinz has oftentimes given his best, and he was very successful, but he didn't do it exactly the way he had planned on doing it. So for him, it wasn't a success. For him, it was a failure. Now, this happens to all of us. When we do something, and we want to do it right, we want to do it nice, and then we have to use make-do materials. We don't go out and buy the right type of material to do the job harmonious with the other job that we might be doing. And we have trouble. Now, Heinz, I understand you built the picnic area at the Hermitage with those four posts out there and the roof.
The previous one, not the one.
Not this one? Oh, I was just going to say it was very nice. except it didn't take into any consideration that you might want to drive a vehicle under it, you know. And this thing, I can get my Miata under there, but I have to jockey my Miata around so it's pointing straight in. Because even off by a foot, it just won't go in. But, you see, it's ideal, but you can't even get a table under there with chairs around it. Whoever built it, you'd think I'm knocking you, whoever built it didn't take into consideration what it was covering. They just thought it was a pretty little thing to make, and they made it. Now, it's soundly made, beautifully stuck into concrete, beautifully performed in every way, a good roof on it. Even though it blew off in one of our windstorms, we replaced it. But how can success ever crown our efforts unless we do it to our satisfaction? Now, whoever built that roof and that place, do you think they thought they did the best thing in the world? Mm-hmm. Does it look like they did the best thing? Did every one of their miter cuts perfectly match? Did every one of their nail insertions perfectly hold? Did they have a board full of nails looking for something on the other side? Or did they hit it very nicely? They hit it very nicely. Everything they did was excellent. But, unfortunately, it was like me when I built the four-car garage. I didn't take into consideration how big our cars were going to be, the Expedition and so forth, you know. Then I didn't take into consideration, which I did know ahead of time, that we were going to put cupboards on both sides of the garage, over 3 feet wide, sticking out into the garage. And so it made it even more difficult to get four cars in there. Now, was it built beautifully? Did the cupboard people do a fine job? Did Michael do a fine job in building the garage? Yeah. Did he extend the garage, as I told him, at least so that everything could be undercover? Yeah, remember? That's sticking out in back there. Another 5 feet. Now, it wasn't perfect. But what would Michael tell you about it? He'd tell you it's perfect. He told you, we built it to specifications and it's just perfect. How can you build things to specifications if you don't have the specifications in keeping with what the specifications should specify? If you're building a four-car garage, which is going to have cupboards, which you might or might not know, you got to build it wide enough. I should have stuck that four-car garage out another full car length width, you know, and then we would have had plenty of room. And it wouldn't have made any difference. And the price would have been about the same. But you see, there you go on that aspect too. The price goes up as you change the plans, as you change your design while you're building. If you can have it pre-designed properly to consider all the ramifications, then you're wonderful. The successful man, I would think, is the one who listens within, who covers all the ramifications and does the perfect job. It's not that he does the work, but he presents the plan. When I sold real estate, I used to take the ladies around to look at different houses. But before I did, I'd have them sitting in my office. We'd drink a cup of coffee or tea and we'd talk. I'd say, now what do you want to do in that house? How many children do you have? Are you expecting more? How many cars you got in the garage? How many surfboards? How many bikes? How many scooters? Are the kids going to play in the yard, or are they going to play on the street, or are they going to play at the school ground nearby? Where are they going to be? What is the purpose of it? Is this an entertainment center? Are you going to entertain there? Now you see, if you want to do a successful job, you have to know what it is that the people want. And so, fortunately, I knew my real estate, and so I would talk to each lady, and the ladies were the ones who bought. I would talk to each lady, and I'd find out what they want to do in that house. And then I'd take them to see the house. And it was always two or three times more expensive than they wanted to buy. And then I'd show them how they could buy it on whatever budget they were on. And they did. But you see, this is working with people ahead of time. This is considering what your job is. And my job, to do my best, is to make sure that I give them what's best for them, what would fulfill their needs, fulfill their plan. Success comes to us when we do our best. And that's why I enjoyed the real estate business and I enjoyed a very profitable career in it. Now, what about you? What about you in your life? Are you enjoying a profitable career in doing whatever you're doing? Are you getting the proper respect for the job that you're doing? Are you getting the proper response from the world as to the efforts that you're making? Or do people think that you're not giving your best? They think that you're sort of withholding here and you're withholding there because you feel that you're not being paid enough to do that. When that sort of an attitude comes to us, then we might as well quit, because no matter what we do, we will be unhappy. No matter how many times people congratulate us or appreciate what we're doing, we'll be unhappy. Heinz, what is the most important thing for a person to do when he does anything?
To do it for himself.
To do it for himself. And if you don't do it for yourself, quit. If you do it because you want someone else to appreciate what you're doing, forget it. Because people can come along and appreciate it, and they might start the conversation out, oh, look at that, that's out of square. And then the next comment would be, boy, that is terrific. You did a really sound job. But what do you remember? That it's out of square. You remember that one little comment, that was a kicker. And because you didn't do it for yourself, that one little comment destroyed all of your pride in that work. We can't let that happen. We have to like ourselves and be joyous with ourselves and be responsible to ourselves for for all the things that we're doing, because that's what makes life go around. Success comes when we do our best and we know it. And that's all there is to it. I love you. Have a wonderful day. I love you. I love you. I love you.